Well, welcome on behalf of the C.G. Jung Institute and the Jungian community of Chicago, both lay and analytical. Let me say just a word about the significance of this night for me. This is the beginning of the final series of audio tapes imagined as a five-set series, looking at the archetypes of the masculine psyche. And I'll get to tell you in a little bit about how kind of odd it is for me to realize that I'm working, the last thing I'm lecturing on this series is on the archetype of the magician, the magician within. And I will get to tell you a little bit about my early work in this topic in a little bit. It's just suffice to say at this point that about 17 years ago, I started doing this work on the psychology of the magician and the psychology of magic. And I'll go into that in some detail. And at that time, I did not start out to do any kind of psychology of masculinity. That wasn't what I was doing. I was doing work in the phenomenology, anthropology, and psychology of occultism and esoteric religious forms as a research interest. It was related to psychotherapy I was doing at that time, but it's significant to me personally that here I started out doing the psychology of magic, and I'm ending this series doing that. So I'll tell you a little more about that in a minute, but let me just talk about the wider project that this is a part of, for those of you that have not been here before or been familiar with my work. For that 17 years, I've gradually begun to realize that the psychology of Jung is tremendously important, even more so than I had realized, because of its focus on the deep structures of the human psyche. And what I've been trying to do in my work is to continue Jung's work on the collective unconscious and on what he called the objective psyche. There are many people today that do not do much work in deep structures of the psyche. They focus a lot more on ego psychology, on staying pretty close to just dream interpretation and other things. But if you look carefully at Jung's work, and I recommend to you that if you have not done this, that you look sometime very soon, that you go to the Institute, if you do not have the 20th volume, the index to Jung's collected works, and that you just breeze through the topics in the collected works, just looking through the index, and look at the enormous amount of attention that Jung gave to the study of structures in the human psyche, which he came to call archetypes, based on researches into the history and phenomenology of mythology and ritual and religion. In my view, that's very central to Jung's work and to anyone who takes a Jungian point of view, as opposed to many other kinds of points of view you can take. In other words, Jung believed that when you were studying mythology, you weren't just doing this for antiquarian interest. You were doing this for clues into what makes the human being function in the way that the human being functions. That this is empirical research in a sense, and it's research that may turn up important breakthroughs in our understanding of the psyche. It was in that spirit that I started working on the archetype of the magician a long time ago, And that work led me to realization through the example of John Perry and John Perry's work on the Lord of the Four Quarters. If you haven't read John Perry's book, Lord of the Four Quarters, Myths of the Royal Father, I realized that if you study transformation processes, you will discover the centrality of the king in any process of renewal. And so I then started studying the king, and then realized that every king in traditional cultures always is accompanied by knights or warriors, and that there's a clear division of labor, sort of almost a role theory that operates here in the human psyche, and then it's acted out in the social arena. And then by looking very closely at mythical narratives, you realize that that there is another figure that always appears, and another thing that happens, and that is the appearance of the lover. And in mythic stories, you get the initiation of the young man, young prince, young Parsifal, young man in the story Iron Hans or Iron John, as Robert Bly has talked about it. And these stories often end with a sacred marriage. And so you study these things, as I have, and you begin to realize that there is a reason why there has been so much emphasis on what Jung called the quaternio, the presence and prevalence of fours in the psyche and in mythology. And essentially what I've been trying to do is to clarify, to discover, and to decode and clarify why so much emphasis on fours. It's been my opportunity to be able to finally get some sense about what those four are, what those four things are in all those quaternios. And let me recommend that before next week, if you can find a copy of Jung's volume Aion, A-I-O-N, that you look in there at his diagrams on the structure of the self. Because in those diagrams, he argues in a way that I will elaborate more later tonight, and very briefly for those of you who've not been familiar with this, the way in which Jung intuited and argued that in his essay in there on the structure of the psyche, that the psyche has been represented by esoteric teachers throughout many centuries as an octahedron or a double quaternio, that is, two pyramids end to end. So look at those diagrams before next week and you can think about them in light of this. It's my belief that these quaternios that people have emphasized from Navajo mythology to Gnostic mythology are these four archetypal structures in the deep structures of the self. That they exist in the self, in the masculine self, and they exist in the feminine self. And we'll get into more detail in that in a little bit. And what I am, what I've been doing in this tape series and also in a series of books co-authored with my friend and mythologist Douglas Gillette is to do a book, an introductory book, laying this out, and a book on each of these archetypal structures, which are to be seen together, because once you begin to get a grasp of these things, you begin to realize that you cannot understand the human psyche by looking at one plane, one space. You have got to understand why there are four of these spaces in the human psyche. You have to understand what their particular contribution to the whole human personality is, and what happens when one or more of them is undeveloped. Now, to anticipate myself, let me just say that it is the magician in you whose task it is to understand this and to get to the point that this magician within can help you access the spaces you need to access when you need to access them.